Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We're back again. Two lifelong nerds coming to drop some experience points on you.
Maybe we got some contact nerdum.
We have a contact nerdum. Yeah. I like that. Before we get too deep into the show, that's what we're about. Where are we online, Red Bear?
We are at exppoints.com. Always double tap that P.
We're on social media too, and you know we got tired of typing all the stuff in. So if you just go to exppoints.com, scroll all the way to the bottom, look at the little buttons on it, and you can come to all the social media stuff.
Technology we invented called buttons. Patent pending.
I thought we invented the internet. That's what you were gonna say.
The internet.
No,
oh,
seriously,
we're not releasing that yet.
No, internet 2.0.
Yeah. I talked to Al Gore first.
So if you want to look at our social media and you don't want to go to the website, go to exppoints.com/, and then the social media that you want to go to, so /Twitter/Facebook/YouTube/Google+ with the plus sign /Stitcher and iTunes. We'll get you all of our previous.
He's waving
audio.
His hands in the air, making a plus sign.
I am. I talk with my.
You have to do that when you type it. It won't work if you don't.
We're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about what we did this past week, but we're gonna intro with a song real quick. This is Night Force by Power Glove. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG
and I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Experience Points, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Night Force by Power Glove. Bear, what did you... You actually have exciting stuff to talk about. What
exciting
did you do this
stuff.
Past week?
I did
week?
Things. Yeah. I left the bear cave and went to a new bear cave, but that was the other week. But more
oh,
importantly...
Oh, yeah, we moved. You
yeah,
moved.
Yeah, I moved. There was a moving happening. Yeah. So there's a new official bear cave.
A bear cave decom and then bear cave like incom
yeah.
where the...
Yeah, they're actually both active right now. So one's still spinning down while the other's spinning up.
Nice.
So yeah, moving to a new secret base location.
All right, so we moved you. What else happened?
Yeah, so what else happened? Well, I went started up my con tours.
Yeah?
With BronyCon.
Awesome. How was that? That was in New York?
Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay.
Close. I just went to New York the other week, remember? Yep. Jeez, keep up with me, man.
Sorry.
I mean, it's not like I travel a lot.
How was BronyCon?
And somehow I'm still always here for the show.
You are.
But BronyCon was probably the best con I've been to.
Really?
Yeah, I've been to a lot of cons between DragonCon, Comic-Con, New Orleans.
You went to MechaCon, didn't you?
Been to MechaCon a few times, which is a great con in the area, by the way.
It seems to not get enough credit.
No, it really doesn't. If you're in the area, go to MechaCon.
We actually just had MechaCon.
It was, yeah, this past weekend while I was up in Baltimore at BronyCon. So if you weren't at BronyCon, you should have been at MechaCon. If you weren't one of those two, I don't know what you're doing with life. I'll be honest.
I know what I was doing while I wasn't doing those cons.
Oh, you weren't doing those cons?
I was, but no, we're going to get to that later.
Yeah,
finish
we'll
your
get to you
story.
Later. You just wait. No, I just want to say, BronyCon, there was just so much talent there. Yeah. This community is just full of artists and musicians, and if you want to have a party... So if you're a regular congoer, you'll know that there's usually an after party, something like... over at Comic-Con, they usually run out of venue, and it's just a huge dance party.
Nice.
Well, they did their own Brony-palooza is what they called it. They got a whole bunch...
They were having Lollapalooza
exactly.
at the same time. Nice.
So you get it. So they had Brony-palooza, and just like I said, there's a lot of musical talent in the community.
Awesome.
So they had a few DJs come out and everything, and that's the craziest party I've been to. I still hurt.
At BronyCon, did you get to touch or hug Tara Strong? Because she is... probably my biggest crush.
I did not.
Next to Amanda Tapping. You know what? They're probably like the same. Amanda Tapping. What's her face? The chick from Grace Somebody from Battlestar Galactica that played Sharon Valeri.
Oh, the super cute one?
Yeah. The Asian one. And then who was the other one? She played in Jewel Strait. She played in Firefly as Callie, and she played in Stargate Atlantis as the doctor that replaced Carson Beckett.
Yes,
but,
very cute.
Yeah,
cute people in nerdom, by the way. So if you're not a nerd, get in a nerdom.
Oh, yeah.
Cute
no, it's the end thing. It's geek chic.
In fact, I was at a psychology panel, and there are women in the brony community are growing exponentially.
That's
so
nice.
Get in, get you a hot pony chick.
Is this like when you say like growing exponentially? Are they like there was one, and then the next time we looked there were three.
There's three,
and then the next time we looked there were seven, and then you're like we developed this equation based off of, because I mean that's what people think, right? People think that like it's just a bunch of guys,
no girls
on the internet, no girls play video games, they're posers.
Yeah, I must say, well, and
that's such
not
a lame.
The community, just the whole geek community has been facing that.
That's
ever
such a
since,
that's such
what,
a lame.
The '70s, '80s.
By the way,
girls are into nerd stuff.
Well, it's fun. Video. I don't think anyone's
girls
ever
like
been
to have
like
fun. They wrote a song about girls liking to have fun.
Video games appeal to wide variety of people. You know, Magic the Gathering. Now, I mean, if you make a game like Broforce and it's like nothing but a bunch of like Bros. Chauvinistic. I mean, they have Broforce. They have they have that type of game. But you know, it's supposed to be a joke. If you make a game where it's essentially just hating on women, then yeah, I imagine most women won't play it. But like,
well, so if I made the game that MG sucks at life, and you probably wouldn't be a big fan of it.
No. I mean, I wouldn't get all the achievements. Certainly. I wouldn't master the game.
Wow.
My weekend was a little less eventful.
Didn't con it out.
Yeah, I played Mass Effect 1, real hardcore. Played Mass Effect 1 and
Is there a Mass Effect con?
No. Not sure? Yet BioWare con, but no, I installed Mass Effect 1 and I installed the Mass Effect updated and improved texture pack. It was about 5 gigs worth of improvements to the base game, and I've got to say, I did a review a while back on YouTube about Mass Effect 3 using these, you know, the huge text mod and a bunch of stuff to make the game look nicer, lighting effects and stuff. This, it's like playing a brand new game.
That's great. Because, I mean, it's been a little while since Mass Effect came out
back in, like, 2005, 2006, I think. And you know what? It's been a hot minute. And we, you know, when you play Mass Effect 1, you have the expectation of looking at Mass Effect, you know, 2.
2007, by the way.
2007? Okay, yeah. That was a year off.
7 years, though.
You know, well, consider this. Mass Effect 1 came out on the original Xbox.
Right. I mean, this was 7 years ago.
Right. So, it's getting up there in age. It didn't look that great. It looked good at the time, and it's still playable. Yeah. But with the updated... I mean
we're coming off PlayStation 2 when we went to Xbox.
Consider, though... you know, Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3, we've got better models now, better textures in those games.
More memory, too.
And more memory. That. So that was the one thing. Like, there was a memory restriction in Mass Effect 1 that I was able to get around. So I added, it can go up to 3 gigabytes of textures now on Effect 1 on any individual texture. I was able to pull in extra textures from the later games into Mass Effect 1. So that boosted that up. It was able to do a bunch of different stuff with particles and turn off that cinematic film grain thing.
Why did they ever do that? Did anyone leave that on?
I think the people that didn't know.
I'm asking the radio, and I know they can't answer me. Please, so.
Right into the show went.
Tell me, did you turn on
call,
off film
call
grain?
Us up at 555. Call us.
Call
I think I left.
There's the worst three fake phone number.
There's
ever.
Three L's in call. That's how it works. So I played Mass Effect 1.
I'm sorry.
I played Mass Effect 1. I played. I watched a lot of Aliens. The Aliens movies.
The
Aliens franchise. And I found out that a Bishop in Aliens 2 or Aliens, and then Alien 3, and I guess any of the ones with Bishop in it, the android or not android, that guy. I thought originally he was the dad from Dexter, the series Dexter, not Dexter's Lab, the other one with the serial killer.
Oh yeah, the serial killer.
I thought he was Harry, but he wasn't. But it turns out he was in another thing. Conveniently, he was in the Mass Effect trilogy. He was Admiral Hackett. So as his voice, so
okay,
kinda cool.
Yeah,
kind of cool little trivia there. Admiral Hackett was the synth in Aliens, but that was my week. So not much there. I got to choose the retro game this week. We got a pretty awesome retro game. I feel like it was awesome, and
it was awesome.
It
was so awesome. I didn't remember playing it.
It fell from awesome. A lot of people probably forgot that they played it. We're gonna cut to a song. We're gonna come back. This is Day Man Step by Joe Man. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Experience Points, I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
That was Day Man Step by Joe Man. In case you don't know, that's from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or whatever. Whatever.
But geez,
yeah, I don't know if I said the name of it correct. Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Sunny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so pretty awesome little remix from Joe Man there. Retro game this week.
Hold on, I'm going to stop you because I've been watching this during that song.
What have you? Oh, you're watching the SpongeBob trailer.
The SpongeBob trailer.
Sponge out of water.
This?
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow.
The CG. If you haven't seen the SpongeBob trailer,
I'm going to see this movie. I'm sorry.
Go watch it. I saw the first SpongeBob movie.
I did not.
It was.
I just wasn't that interested in SpongeBob, but this. looks amazing.
It's a nice, it's a cavalcade of varying humor that touches all ages. Like, it reaches out and...
That
and,
sounds like something you should talk to your priest about.
Oh, no, 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 nothing like that.
Whoa!
No, it's really awesome. They do it in 3D. They have some pretty cool CGI, and it's not actually, that goofy, the, super
the
realistic CGI.
The CG is actually really cool, because yeah. They look almost like there's little vinyl figures or something.
Right, right, like it's almost stop motion, but it's
yeah.
not.
Oh, yeah, it's live action, by the way. Yes. Yeah, we're confusing Radioland.
It's, well, I think it's like it's hybrid. It starts out and they're under the sea, and yeah, then there's some live action sequence.
Real world. Anyway, sorry I hijacked the segment. We're talking about retro games that Matt wants to talk about.
Retro games. This is a game that came back in 2005.
Minesweeper.
It's 2005, not Minesweeper.
Minesweeper 2.0.
Oh, wow. Now, the game, you know, okay, so to kind of set the scene, you know, games have a lot of hype. Sometimes.
Hype
Destiny,
train.
We were talking about the hype train for Destiny last week, and before that, you know, it was Halo, and before that, it was Mass Effect 3, and before that, there's always going to be hype trains.
Right.
There's, like, the fastest hype train ever is Half-Life 3, and I can't
wait.
The day
Half-Life 3 comes out, there's going
to
be riots.
I'll gladly step in front of that train.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm just waiting to be run over. But
you're not on?
This was a game that whenever I saw the demo for it, whenever I saw the cinematics for the trailers, everything about this game made me say, we've made it. This is the future. I want this game. It's going to be great. And the game was Advent Rising. Now, this is a game. It came out by Majesco. It was published by Majesco. The writers.
The ones that made the casual games.
Well, they make casual games now, but.
After they this one.
Well, they focus on handheld games and they canceled. It was going to be part of like a trilogy, right? The Advent Rising trilogy. They canceled it after the first game. So, you know, for as good as this game seemed to be, it was only a one-off. Sort of like Sin's Emergence or Sin's Episodes.
Yeah, okay, so this was 2005
right.
They were doing this.
Yeah, back in the day. The big pull for me was, at that point, really into reading. You know, reading's cool.
Reading's awesome.
There were rainbows based around reading and, you know, Jordy.
Yeah. Jordy's coming back, I hear.
It is. Got kickstarted.
Yeah.
By a lot.
I kickstarted that.
But, you know, it was written by a good author, in my opinion. Orson Scott Card one of the writers, the primary writer, I believe, on this game for the script and everything. It had some awesome direction, some awesome sound direction. It was running the Unreal Engine 2, which was a very nice-looking engine back in the day for, you know, all respects to it.
I don't think Unreal's made a bad-looking engine.
Ever. No. I mean, you look back on the previous engines they've made, and you're like, that kind of looks messy. But you're like, 2005.
But then you look at all the other engines that are out at 2005.
Right. You know, they did a good job. So the plot, right? You play as Gideon Wyeth. He's the protagonist, as they would say. And you're the brother of like this hotshot pilot that did some crazy stuff.
Was it Tom Cruise?
In the war. No, no. His name was...
should have been Tom Cruise.
Ethan.
Maverick.
Ethan Wyeth. Anyway,
that's where the game went wrong. They didn't use Maverick.
They didn't use Tom Cruise. So anyway, your brother, he was this hotshot pilot, and through his connections with being a hotshot pilot, you are the co-pilot for the very first party of humans to talk to these aliens. No, you're there to make first contact. So you're the co-pilot. On the co-pilot thing, series of events happens. These aliens are all like, great humans, you're so great. Unfortunately, we come with horrible news. There are other aliens that are going to kill you. In like 2 days. Well, like an hour later, the aliens show up, so 2 days meant nothing. You have to make some plot points. You get to Earth. Earth is destroyed. Big spoiler alert there. Earth is destroyed. You find the aliens. You're like one of three humans left in the galaxy. You find the aliens. They teach you how to pretty much become Neo. They give you magical powers, or they unlock the potential inside of you. And anyway... So that's how that happens. At the end, you know, or throughout the rest of the game, you fight the aliens, you take vengeance, you know, you stop them from spreading, and then at the end you're just in this giant portal, and there's this big giant cliffhanger, and that's where everything ends.
Okay, so why was this actually sounds like a really fun, cool game.
Well, yeah, it was written by the guy that did Ender's Game, you know.
Yeah, I said the writing sounds amazing. So what's wrong with it, Matt? Because I have a feeling you want to tell us.
I played this when it came out. In 2005, 2006.
All right. It's a good time to play a game when it comes out.
Yeah.
It's more expensive, but I played it, and I
bought it. Like, I know I have the box somewhere, or maybe I got rid of it.
Ooh, right,
when
games came in boxes,
I had the box of it. Now, it's available on Steam now for probably, like, $10.
Wait till summer sale.
I own it. I own it. You know, the game was praised for its, like, dual wield. And back in the day, dual wielding was a big thing. You could drop individual weapons out of each hand and dual wield different weapons. You could. You had this really cool bullet time, because back in the day when the Matrix was still sort of new, bullet time was definitely a thing. Everybody tried to do bullet time. Everybody tried to put bullet time in there. The non-Matrix games put bullet time in there. So there was bullet times. There was jump dodging. There was, you know, there was some cool hover jumping. There was throwing down some magical shields. There was shooting some dudes with some mega guns. There was a vehicle combat, which
wasn't that good.
They had a whole bunch of elements, and it's like they tried to add too much, I feel. You know, there was,
I feel a lot of games that have a lot of potential do that. They start out and they have this credit in, and then they want to add everything into it, and scope creep is just terrible.
Yeah, you know what? They released it, and it was... I guess we were talking last show about how people release things before they're ready to be released.
Right, the alphas. You know, you release
and you have to patch the game to kind of get them up to snuff. Advent Rising didn't suffer from that.
Even when they're actually released, yeah.
Well, yeah. Advent Rising didn't release, or it didn't suffer because of that. It suffered just because of bugs. I will say, though,
the ability to patch is the worst thing that's happened to video games in history.
I think it's a bad thing, but it's not always bad. Like, there are some good examples of games getting patched and becoming better. Being able to unlock things or add things for free without having to go and pick it up. Like, hey, come to GameStop to get your free code. Or just turn your game on and we have your code. It's in there already.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I mean, it just...
I would rather not have it.
It starts out with this whole thing of, well, we'll fix it later.
Yes.
And so you end up with a subpar product. And I'm just going to be angry about it.
As far as why the game sucked and why the game wasn't really that great, let's talk about, you know, how it was perceived. So it got good reviews.
I'm looking at the reviews.
Four and a half out of five.
That's really good.
And then it got like 5 out of 10s. And we all know, you know, 5 out of 10 doesn't mean it's like average. 5 out of 10 means it's bad. You know, 7 out of 10 means it's average.
Pay off that particular company to give you a good rating.
Well, yeah. But I mean, this was EGM at this point. It has a 68 on Game Rankings and Metacritic, which isn't too bad, and users do 7.5. But I think that if you would have looked at it more in the heyday, like when it was brand new and when it was out, it would have been much, much, much worse. It's only good now because they've had time to kind of patch and patch and patch. Not that they actively patch it anymore. Majesco, again, doesn't do these types of games anymore. It was buggy. It was really, 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 really buggy. And in fact, I played it over the weekend as well.
So nothing actually worked properly.
It's not that nothing worked properly. It was that frequently there would be things in the game that would either one, make it crash, or two, would be some weird kooky mechanic. Like you could do this over the shoulder shooting. Like you could run the opposite way, like run towards the camera, but then look behind you with the camera and shoot, and it would shoot over there. Some weapons in this game have really expensive ammunition. Like there's only like 5 rounds per clip, and you don't find that clip laying around anywhere. So when that's gone, you have to pick up another weapon. Frequently, though, I would find myself running to the camera and shoot, and instead of readying the weapon and shooting behind me, it would just like fire in some random Texas Shoot'em weapon direction. It would just like go up and shoot off to the side and blow me up, and I'd die. I would get stuck in the level. You know, I'd jump and I'd get stuck in the level. There were just weird little bugs that I feel. The vehicle combat was the worst. Like driving a vehicle was worse than Mass Effect 1.
It was worse than the Mako.
It was worse than the Mako. It was a good game in concept. The story seemed rushed, but I feel like you rush things in games sometimes. You can't take the time like you would in a book because games typically last less time than a book.
Yeah, don't take it the wrong way. Games are a bigger production. Not saying there's not production value in a book, but you have to get programmers and developers, artists the writers and
I will
musicians,
say the
everything else.
I liked the art in the game.
Voice actors.
The voice actors were good and the art was good, except the art was good on the main characters, on the important characters. whenever I see. Would everyone had huge hips in this game. The hips were as wide as your wider than your shoulders. Your legs were always in like a horse riding stance sort of. And it was cool. It's like an action stance, but whenever you're standing, you should have like an idle animation. They didn't do that. And everyone did that. Like, you know, the very first segment of the game, you're in a space station and you're watching some guys fight, like Marines training and wrestling. And then there's like two girls, like obviously girlfriends of the Marines. They're watching down and there's some dialogue. Oh my God, you know, Becky, look at Johnny. He's doing this. But they're standing in the most awkward, just annoying way. Like, you can't help but know. You run through, and I feel that it's
I'm just picturing that, like, they modeled all this off of the models you see in the mall. They, you know, the clothing models are always standing in those weird poses.
No, like, they were like, leaning on the rail, because they're on the second floor. Yeah. They're leaning, looking down, and their butts are out, like, you know, like you'd expect, right? But their legs are like they're riding horses, but the horses are invisible. And
maybe everyone was riding invisible horses, and midget, Matt, and you were doing it wrong.
Maybe I didn't understand the game. Anyway, they have an unofficial patch that sort of addressed a little bit of the issues. They had subtitles, cinematic playback. They cut the content and various other fixes that sort of make the game a little bit better. I haven't installed that, though. I've been playing vanilla Advent Rising. I would have liked to seen, I would have liked to seen the next two games, or at least sort of maybe a re-release of this that sort of fixes some of the things. But I doubt it'll ever happen. Supposedly it got No Vent Falcon support, which was that gun that was on like the spider thing. Like it was a controller that was supposed to allow you some force feedback stuff.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't know. You know, it didn't show up in our worst peripheral episode, but yeah. I feel like it should have.
Didn't you have one?
No, I didn't have one. Those things were expensive.
You had something.
I had a gun, FPS mouse, mouse or whatever, and that wasn't that great. I got that as a gift, and it was a good thought, but it was just a bad implementation. Anyway, that's Advent Rising. You can pick it up on Steam. Also available on Xbox, and it's on live, so apparently you can stream it. We are going to cut to a song. This is The Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was The Ballad of Barry Allen by Jim's Big Ego. You're listening to Experience Points. We are going to jump into our main segment.
Main segment!
We need like a sound by like, main segment.
Main segment!
Yeah! Yeah, man.
Welcome to it.
Minor little pointless trivia. Did you know that Bill Murray is actually doing the voice of Baloo in the new Jungle Book movie?
No, yeah. And there's a new Jungle Book movie.
There will be.
Yeah. I did not get as much Comic-Con in as I wanted to.
That's actually the focus of this is the changing face of cons in general, and kind of what it's just amusing. Like, we don't have factual information.
We don't have facts on this show.
We have our
it's just like your opinion,
just
man.
Just the facts, sir. So we're going to give you kind of our opinions and our thoughts on what cons used to be and how cons usually are, and we're just kind of going to break into it. And we're going to shift at some point, talk about something else, but we're just going to go ahead and I'm going to start.
Let's see what happens.
So
do it live.
You
recorded live.
It was recorded live.
The studio audience.
We have a stiff in the studio. So that could be taken multiple ways.
I just thought about that. Like, yeah. Wow.
So
we're gonna take care of that later.
When you think about Comic-Con or whatever,
I just got where you went.
You just got
continuing on. Let's go with Comic-Con. Wow.
So Comic-Con, there's a couple different types of cons. There's video game conventions, like say QuakeCon. There's general sort of everything cons, like say PAX, PAX right. East, PAX West. PAX Prime.
Oh, what's the one happening in Baltimore next weekend?
There's the super 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 defined
Otakon. Well, that's the anime con.
Yeah, Otakon is.
Otakon. I'm sorry, I'm not Japanese.
Well, there's Otakon. There's Fanime. There's Anime Expo.
Yeah.
There's a few anime cons.
Dragon Con.
Dragon Con or Taku Con, I think, or maybe one of those. Anyway, there's Brony Con.
Yeah, there's
That's very centered. And then there's, Comic-Con, which used to be centered. It used to be
in the day, it was about comics.
It was about comics. And they didn't even have professional cons. They've got, like, E3 or the Tokyo Game Show, TGS. BlizzCon, which is kind of weird. It's like a professional type of con, but there's also a ton of gaming going on.
Yeah.
Because it's Blizzard. There's QuakeCon, which is more or less a gaming con.
That's the closest thing to a LAN party that still exists.
Yes, and we're going to get to LAN parties a little bit later in the segment, but we will be talking about LAN parties in this segment.
In this segment, it happens.
But let's get cons out of the way.
You went to
BronyCon.
I like cons. Yeah,
I've gone to Comic-Con in New Orleans. I've gone to MegaCon.
I do Comic-Con every year. Comic-Con New Orleans. I don't get to go to San Diego because, well, it's San Diego.
Well, I talked to some people that went to Comic-Con in San Diego, mm-hmm. and it's turned into standing in line for two
line
things.
LineCon 2014.
It's LineCon. You know, when I want to go see somebody.
Speaking of that, I specifically don't ever actually go see voice actors or actors or anything. I don't try to get their autograph because you're going to spend an entire day in this giant line.
Yeah, it's sort of a mitigation of what do you want the most and then prioritize that and right. figure out how long it's going to – now you're adding weight to it. You know, how long is it going to take to get what you want done? And can you do more than one of the things?
Because you're already paid good money to be here. Do you want to spend the entire time in a line?
Right. That's why, like, Comic-Con in New Orleans, that's like $45.
Yeah.
Like, to go. And it's in our backyard.
The lines there don't get too bad.
Well, no.
And they actually do a good job of stacking panels. So there's certain actors that get shifted, and a lot of people be in a panel they really want to be to. But Brent Spinner, for instance, I got to spend an hour with him because he was the only one on the panel not talking. So he wasn't at that panel.
Right. I feel like you're always gonna, you know, we're always gonna have a problem where you've got a super huge place like, say, San Diego, and New Orleans is big. I mean, it is. It's definitely people know of New Orleans. You know, they don't know.
It's
of,
a
like,
thing that people know about.
They know about that, but I wouldn't say people fly in from all across the, you know, the country to go to the New Orleans Comic Con.
No, well, the San Diego one, that's Comic-Con.
That's Comic-Con. The New York Comic-Con is bigger than the New Orleans.
That's because it's just New York.
Right.
There's just that many more people in New York already.
Right. So I feel like, and they only have Comic-Con three places, right? Or they have it in Dallas.
Do they have one in Dallas? I am actually unsure.
I know they have another, they have a con in Dallas or in Texas. Yeah. But
I know they have I think Nightmare Nights is in Dallas, but that's another PonyCon coming up in October.
And that's something we're seeing. We're seeing that, you know, you've got super specific cons, like I'm gonna say pony cons. Is that the official term?
I don't know. That's Bear's term.
So pony cons.
Because I mean, those are based off of ponies,
right? But I mean, they're for fans that love the show, that love the atmosphere. Right. You know, it's about that. So it's specific. And Comic-Con, you said it used to be about comics. It used to be about the artists.
Very specific, very narrow focus on comic books.
Right. And yet now it's sort of matured into, like, Twilight. When Twilight was a big thing, Twilight was at Comic-Con.
Why was that a big thing? Well, secondly, did they even have a comic?
No. Well, no. So that's the thing. I don't think Comic-Con, like, should Firefly be at Comic-Con?
Well, I mean, do they have a comic?
They have a comic after the fact.
Well, their comic. In my opinion, I'm being an old hater, man, but like, I think the focus needs to come back because I don't like the movie genres really jumped in, and it does a good thing for geekdom. It pulls in a lot more fans. It's cool to be a geek now. It really is.
We were talking about that. You know, the price for entry, the doorway is much wider now.
I was saying, and that's not a bad thing, but I don't know. I just like, yeah, apparently there are Twilight comics.
Yeah, but I mean, those didn't come out first. I feel like, you know, whenever you make a comic just to kind of participate in Comic-Con, if that's what we're saying is the legitimate way of doing
it. DC Comics made something. No, this is not the same one.
Yeah, I imagine it's a different Twilight.
Yeah.
Sue them. Sue Stephanie Meyer. No, okay, so Comic-Con is sort of an amalgamation con now. PAX was always that type of con.
Right, but that's what it's supposed to be.
That's what PAX is supposed to be.
But Comic-Con was about comics, but now it's just general geekdom con.
Yeah. A friend of mine told me, you know, Artist Alley, which used to be the big thing. You know, you go and you like to shake Bruce Timm's hand.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. I shook the hand that pinned Batman the Animated Series and Superman
which
Adventures.
Which is amazing.
I would freak out. That's amazing.
Nerdgasm.
To go and hug Stan Lee. Or whatever, you know, that'd be awesome.
I've shook Stan Lee's hand.
Yeah,
yeah. At Comic-Con New Orleans a few years back.
There are a bunch of things that
he is awesome.
That I feel
and alive.
I feel like, you know, comics aren't as big. They aren't as big as they were when they first came out. Even though there are more out there, it's we've got so much more types of media to consume, like video games, right. TV shows, Walking Dead, for instance. We have Walking Dead video games, Walking Dead comics or graphic novels, Walking Dead TV shows, probably in another
merchandise.
In another, like, I don't know, year or two, we'll probably have a Walking Dead movie, an official Walking Dead movie.
Oh, you know that's coming.
You know,
I don't need a con to tell me that's coming.
Right. it's the same thing with Transformers. You know, Transformers used to be the comic and TV show.
Yeah, and the animated TV show. And then the original movie that was awesome had a great score.
It was
By
really
the way, if
awesome.
You want to listen to a good score, original 1980s.
It was 1981, I think.
1981 Transformers score. There
it's,
you go.
Stan
Bush. I believe Weird Al was even on that, wasn't
yes.
he?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Weird Al had, he was the Junk Planet. Whenever they went to the Junk Planet, yeah. Weird Al had a song.
Craziness.
Stan Bush, fun fact. Again, I'm all about fun trivia today. Stan Bush, the guy who made the original Transformers theme song and a ton of other things like You've Got the Touch, You've Got the Power, that song.
Yeah.
He has forever only made those types of songs. Even today, he has released albums within the last 5 or 10 years that sound as if they were made for that movie. And they're all about
That's
Transformers.
Awesome.
In fact, he was upset whenever Mute Math's theme song for Transformers, the new Michael Bay yeah. series, was chosen and not his, which was pretty much like a 1980s remaster of a new version of a song that was very much like the old version of the Transformers theme. That ends the fun trivia. So you look at cons, and...
I do. I look at cons.
You say like MechaCon. MechaCon yeah. is about, you know, anime. It's about cosplay. It's about, I guess there's some video game. There's some video gaming going on, but
I think there's always a room at a con that's going to have video games going.
Yeah, and I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I like video games. I do, and I don't cosplay. Just me, but that's because I have no fashion sense. I don't know how to put
your fault.
I don't know how to put
your
two
loss.
Colors together. I look online and I'm like, man, that's gonna look great. And then I get it and I'm like, I ordered the wrong size. This is completely the wrong shirt. I sweat too much.
I sweat.
You know,
too much.
I don't have my hair color's the wrong color.
Just cosplay as a con goer.
I could do that, yeah. Or that I've seen people like cosplay as like.
And actually, on that note, there's still a stereotype out there about these people that attend cons that they're all like 30-year-old men who live in their mother's basements.
I'm 27, or I'm about to be.
Yeah,
I'm not 30 yet.
You don't live in your mother's basement, namely because we live in Louisiana. Yeah. You have to live in the attic, I guess.
It's a shack in the.
Don't go in my shed. I told you not to go in my shed.
In the attic with a saw and a hammer, just in case for those hurricane days.
Wow.
But
my point is that stereotype. Like, there are stereotypes that surround these, and they're not true.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like stereotypes. You know what? Like Comic-Con is about having fun.
Well, I think any con is about having, because it's specifically to get a group of people with a common interest together to enjoy that interest.
I agree, with the exception of cons like Tokyo Game Show and E3.
Those are
professional.
Okay.
We
can make a distinction there, because those are a professional con meant to kind of show you what's coming out next in like technology or business
right,
type of.
Yes. You should be kind of put together for those.
Right, right. And then there are nerd cons.
Nerd cons, yeah.
Comic-Con.
You could have a dirty shirt on. You could not bathe. I mean, please.
Please bathe. But no, don't listen to me. Bathe. Bathe. The hotel has showers, people. And on I've been to cons.
Their premium shower.
The soap is free.
The little soap.
The soaps are free. I've been to cons where it was just terrible, and I'm not going to name drop cons because I don't feel like doing that to those poor. They're trying.
I know the last con that I went to that I really 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 enjoyed was QuakeCon, and we both went.
Yeah.
It was QuakeCon.
It's been a hot minute since I've been to QuakeCon.
QuakeCon 2009.
Should look at going again.
That was when. Wet. I remember the game Wet was coming out.
Yes.
And Batman Arkham Asylum, I think,
and
was
I got to play
out.
In 3D.
Yep, at the
and
NVIDIA
that was
booth.
Awesome.
There are a bunch of things that are kind of dying with cons. You know, like Artist Alley was a big one where when they said, you know, people didn't recognize who the artists were anymore, who Greg Pak was.
Well, like I said, I think that's more focused around Comic-Con and the larger venues, because a lot of the cons I attend that are more that have their focus still. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that happens to a con. After a while, it loses a focus,
or it gains a new focus,
or like it gains a new one.
It evolves.
It's community shifts.
We can just be hipsters about it. I guess is what we're being right now. We're being hipster about Comic Con.
Wait, my glasses aren't thick enough yet.
Where's your typewriter? You need your typewriter.
Well, I'm on a Mac at least.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
There you go.
I mean, so hipster, I don't need a typewriter. I think it depends on how focused the con is. And the community that's built around that focus.
Yeah.
Because I've been to several different cons where their Artist Alley is the best thing there. But you're right. Things like Comic-Con, it's lost.
I guess, you know, when you go to San Diego, there's an expectation. And again, my friend said, you know, they got off of the plane and people were wearing superhero T-shirts. and like people that worked for the airline, people that were driving taxis, you know, were wearing the superhero t-shirts.
You mean you couldn't tell who the congoers were?
No. It was that everybody.
By the way, BronyCon was very obvious who was attending BronyCon.
Were they dressed as ponies?
Yes, it was actually quite humorous.
Anything with a rainbow pony, they're going to the thing.
No, it's not all rainbows.
Anything with
there's only one rainbow pony.
Anything with the musical notes on them. What are they called? Beauty marks or
cutie marks?
Cutie marks. That's
they're
nifty.
Totally not tramp stamps.
That's right. We'll go with this. No, it was just like you know, you could see that it's Comic-Con isn't just a thing that happens that people enjoy. It's sort of a moneymaker at that time, you know. It's
probably any con's a moneymaker.
It's like people. It's like when you go to Orlando or down, you know, wherever Disneyland is or Disney World, and everything's Disney.
There's a distinction there, man.
I know.
You
want
to go to Disneyland or you want to go to
Disney
World.
The one in the handle, not the one in the West.
Yeah, that's right. You get it right.
You go to Disney World, everything's Disney around it, or everything's theme parky. You know, it's all about, you know, we'll give you the best ticket deals. We'll give you this. And it's like they make their money off of those two things. And San Diego for a little bit made its money off of Comic-Con for the last, you know, weekend or week.
Mm-hmm.
New York will do the same thing. And it's not like people won't go to New York, but or San Diego unless Comic-Con's there. It's nothing like that. But you can see that it's sort of like this thing that just happens. People adapt to the ecosystem and they milk it. They milk it and they make it say like, look, we're wearing this. We're getting in the spirit. It's like Christmas. We're wearing our red.
That doesn't terribly upset me though.
I feel like the fact that it's become such a big thing to where like people working at Delta are going to wear superhero t-shirts.
I mean, if Superman's flying my airplane, I feel safer.
I feel like, what was it? Spider-Man and the U.S. Postal Service. Like, come on. That's just to sell tickets and to make you aware that the post office still exists.
Oh, the post office is there?
We get our film via the post office. I'm like, why don't you just get it via, like, the internet?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, are you talking about the commercial with Stan Lee?
Yeah.
In the beginning of the Avengers or whatever?
Right.
Where Spider-Man brings
it's just,
in the package?
It's so...
That was silly.
It's so silly. It's just a pitch out there. But anyway, so I just feel, you know, cons should be sort of, I feel like there's exclusivity to a con, and it shouldn't be that nerds can't go to this con because you're not a real nerd. It's just that like maybe geeks and nerds should be a little more protective over their culture and counterculture. Like maybe
it does kind of, I don't want to say pollute, but you kind of bland it out whenever just everyone's involved in it. Because,
right.
Again, the point in this is to be around people of your interest who know about what's going on.
Right. Imagine if there was a con where it was nothing but people that played Call of Duty.
Yeah. Well, go ask any random guy with the Superman shirt on, you know, just about anything, about Krypton or anything.
He doesn't need to know.
He doesn't even know what Krypton is.
He doesn't even need to know.
Or General Zod. Ask him what he thinks about General Zod.
He watched the movie, the latest one, the one with the guy.
And he probably slept through all the explanation at the beginning. The only good part of that movie, in my opinion.
Right. That he just was there for
the
action.
I'll watch it again, but...
If you had to, right?
No, like, this new Superman movie, it's hard to make a Superman movie. It's hard to make a Superman anything.
It's hard to make a Superman game. It's hard to make a Superman game.
Well, Superman's a very unrelatable character for most people, not me, because I'm awesome. But a lot of people have a problem associating with
you're super and you're a man. Oh, I get the connection.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Conjunction, junction here.
Wow. But anyway, no, it's just a hard character to relate to, and to make a good movie is really hard. But the beginning of the latest one was amazing.
Just purely the explanation.
Yeah, the explanation of what's about to happen, and then it kind of derailed. But
it's all about the action. And I feel like we've sort of jumped from cons to the people that go. You know, the people that go to cons now, they went to see, the cast of Walking Dead.
Right.
They went to see the new trailer for the new Batman versus Superman movie.
Which I am also super excited about.
They went to go see all of these things that aren't exclusively the same type of geekdom that we are, I think we should be more or less try to protect. You know, we're trying to protect people
it's a funny issue we're having because like we said, it's become popular now.
Right.
And I don't think that the geekdom was prepared for popularity.
Well, so Will Wheaton had a really good segment. I'm just going to paraphrase. He said, someone asked him about what, there are people that, what is it to be a nerd? What is it to be a geek? And he effectively said that, you know, this is the reason we are geeks and we are nerds, to be around people that care about the same things we care about. And I thought that was really cool. I feel like we're caring about things, and the media and culture are in society are kind of pushing things to be more popular, and that is we're on the track. Oh yeah, we like what we like, and then something cool comes out that's sort of like what we like, And it's enough to get other people on board. And that means more things like that are going to happen because more people are going to enjoy that. And now I worry that we are moving away from the core of what we should like, because that's becoming thinner and thinner and less and more opaque. And now we're going towards the next thing, which is more or less what society thinks we should want, because more people
do. The media obviously tries to drive what people like very hardcore.
Right.
In fact, like you said, they want to push the next moneymaker is what it is.
Yeah.
And you'll hear all positive things about, like, maybe the new Batman versus Superman movie and stuff. But then, like, the pony cons I attend, like, the brony community has a lot of trouble with it because the media just doesn't like us.
Yeah.
You know, we're different. We're weird.
So. There's a lot of hate on it. Because, there's no reason. Like, there's really no reason.
Public media, they get hate. We get hated on so badly. It's ridiculous.
I mean.
But.
Ponies, you know, are
it's weird. It's
they're a valid different. Resource to our American way of life.
Hasbro likes us.
I bet, yeah.
But yeah, that's why. So the media does try to control very much so any sort of geekdom that they can.
Yeah.
Because people aren't this isn't people in their back rooms reading comic books anymore. This is everyone with an internet connection.
Right.
Which is everyone.
I'm waiting because, you know, video games obviously make people kill people. Right. That's the video game violence is a real thing.
Wait,
quote.
Is
quote
Hillary
unquote.
Clinton here?
No. I'm just channeling the Clinton. Video game violence, movie violence.
Is there a political con?
Oh man, no. There's the Republican convention and the Democratic convention.
Okay, but I guess they have their own. Wow,
DemCon and
what's gonna
RepoCon.
DemCon and
RepubCon.
RepoCon.
RepCon. I like RepCon.
Oh, they could have Reptars instead of
Anyway,
I like my politics.
This segment's running long. We're going to cut to a song, come back, and kind of end it out. This is Pretend by IFD. New stuff off of the Near Future album. They're still on Vans Warped Tour. I think that ended. I think that the tour's over.
That's another con that I want to go to. Okay, so
it's like a music con.
Wow. A music con.
Anyway, Pretend by IFD Dragons. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Pretend by I Fight Dragons again. New stuff off of the Near Future. It's not released yet, but it will be in the near future. We are out of time, so we're going to have to push our discussion about land parties and land-type things until next week, but that's cool.
Only we had a two-hour segment.
I know. We're working on it. This is kind of a big episode. We didn't really build it up as much as
we
should have.
No, we didn't even mention what episode this is.
We didn't. This is the 50th episode that we've uploaded, so I think it's Bear's like third season, because he was here for season four, season five, and now this is season 5.5. Will North was with us for season three. But this is the 50th episode that will be uploaded. It's uploaded online. Bear, what is the website?
The website where we upload this, exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
If you want to check us out on social media, you can go to exppoints.com, scroll to the bottom and click those buttons, or go to exppoints.com/Twitter/Facebook/
Google with a plus. You got to make the air signs.
Google with a plus. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can sync us to your iPod or to your Android MP3 player devices. Again, exppoints.com/iTunes/Stitcher.
Or you could
search for us and get us if you search for the Experience Points radio show. We're also on Steam if you want to check out some of our really cool exclusive Steam dedicated servers. Check that out at exppoints.com/Steam. Word to the wise, if you play Minecraft.
Play some Minecraft?
We are getting a Minecraft server. We've got some pretty cool stuff.
It's in testing right now.
We're in the testing phase of Minecraft, but we're going to have some pretty cool stuff. It's going to be a really awesome server with some mods. It's going to be a bucket server. A bucket's like stable now, and it's really cool. But anyway, thank you for listening to our 50th show.
50 shows.
50 shows online. Like,
wow.
Because I realized I did the show for 2 years solo.
Sorry,
just doing
Matt.
Music,
yeah.
Right? And then a semester, I think I tried to do a little bit just with me, and then like
it's just you by talking season, to yourself.
By season three, Will jumped on, and then by season four, you jumped on. So thanks to everyone that made this show what it is. Thanks for Bear for being an awesome host. Thanks for Kat for coming in every now and then. Thanks for Russell and our other special guests that come in every now and then.
Thanks, Southeastern, for not kicking us out.
Thanks for Southeastern and KSLU for not kicking us out.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
Thanks for Will North. Shout out to him for season three. It was a really great season, and all of those seasons are online. So if you really want to, I urge you to. It's really great stuff. You can listen to those online. We are going to leave you with one last song.
One more song.
We are going to leave you.
I mean, we'll be back next week.
Oh, yeah.
He does this every week. Listen, where you think that this is the last episode ever, the way he says it.
Listen to us next week, next Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. on KSLU, because we're going to be here
for at least another 50
episodes.
Bear
and I have been talking about, and more. Yeah, certainly. Way more. At least 50.
Until they shut us down.
50-100, at least.
Jeez. 50-100 billion, jillion.
Anyway, we've got some talks, or we've been in talks with expanding our platform, doing some really cool stuff, getting published.
Yeah, I mean, I know we keep saying it's coming. It's coming.
We've
taken some time. Expanding a platform is a lot harder than you think it is.
There's a lot of pulling.
It's a lot of pushing.
Yep. You can't push. That makes it smaller.
So yeah, you got to get your scope down.
That's how when you want to zip something, you push it. When you want to expand something, you pull it. So that's how we're going to talk about
that.
So,
yeah, we're working on it.
Yep. We're out of time.
All out of time.
This is Man on Fire by The Megas. This is off their re-release on the 20th anniversary of Mega Man Edition. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
Thanks for hanging out with us. This has been Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
50 EPS!